Hey friends, it's good to be with you again. My name is Ricky James, a senior pastor at First Methodist Church here in Clinton, Mississippi. And whether you're watching us online or listening to us at Supertalk FM, we're so glad that you're here today as we continue our sermon series on a Jesus-shaped life. Today, looking at what it means to allow Jesus to transform our minds. That's the key, right? In order to live a life shaped like Jesus, we have to think like Jesus. So we're going to talk about how we do that and how Jesus wants to transform our minds. So thanks for being here and welcome to worship.
Down upon the shoreline where the nets are cast within, the open sea of giving drawn in time and time again. Peter was a sailor, then Jesus, he's the wind. Cast me down upon the water, cast me down. Gentle heart soothe the kings of madness come and gone. A prophet's simple poem, lasting now so long. If David was a singer, then Jesus, he's the song. Cast me down upon the water, cast me down. I'm like a stone thrown to the sea, I've fallen, and the waves all mold me as they may. To be reborn, then to hear the calling, yes, that I'm still. I'm still potter's clay. The seeds have all been scattered and the harvest has begun. To bale us all in beauty, gathered now as one. But a farmer, then Jesus, he's the sun. Cast me down upon the water, cast me down. I'm like a stone thrown to the sea, I've fallen, and the waves all hold me as they may.
Now let us join together in reciting the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Hey friends, one of the great opportunities I have is most every week to visit with our confirmands. These are 12 and 13 year olds who are preparing to make a profession of faith in Jesus, some to be baptized for the first time, but all of them to say that they want to follow Jesus. And it's just a great opportunity to see them grow in their faith. And it's one of the things that your generosity makes possible, allowing us to teach a new generation about who Jesus is and what Jesus can do in their life. So when you give, remember that you're not just giving for today, you're giving for tomorrow. So keep up the good work. Remember, you can give safely and securely at firstmethodistclinton.org/giving. Mail your check to 100 Mount Salus Road here in Clinton, or drop it off the next time you're in the neighborhood. We'd love to see you anyway. Come on by. However you give, remember, you really do make an eternal difference.
Good morning, boys and girls. I'm glad you're joining us today. I'm Miss Nikki, and you know what that means. It's time to spend a few moments with the kids. Today, in our Bible verse, we'll be talking about transformation. Now, my boys like to watch a TV show called Transformers. If you've never seen or heard of it, it's about these robots that change into other objects, like a fire truck, or a race car, or a helicopter, and then change back into robot form again. So the Transformers transform. They change from one thing to another. Another thing that comes to my mind when I hear the word transform is when a caterpillar changes from a butterfly through a process called metamorphosis. In this type of transformation, it's like the caterpillar becomes a whole new creation. It used to be a worm-like creature that could not get off the earth, but then after being transformed, it becomes a beautiful butterfly that can now fly. In today's Bible verse, it says we can be transformed too. Not like the transformer robots that change from one object to another and back again, or like a caterpillar that does a complete physical change into a butterfly, but the Bible talks about how we can transform our minds to be more Christ-like. So what does that mean? How can we be transformed? Before we know Jesus, our minds are full with all of the things of the world. We live in the world every day. We watch television shows and movies. We listen to songs. We go to school and we hear things from other kids and we learn things from school books. So what goes into our eyes and our ears and into our mind and into our heart becomes our belief system, which then controls our actions. So God tells us in Isaiah chapter 55 that our thoughts and ways are not His thoughts and ways. And He also tells us in Proverbs chapter 3 that we are not to lean on our own understanding, but to trust in Him. So the only way we can learn what God's thoughts and ways are is for us to read His Word, which is the Bible. So He recorded down all His thoughts and His ways, and not only that, He sent Jesus to come and show us His thoughts and His ways here on earth, and what it looks like to live a life like that. So God recorded His thoughts and ways for us in the Bible, so that our eyes and ears can be filled with what He says is true. In our Bible verse today, Romans chapter 12, verse 2, so that when our minds are transformed, we will know what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. So, all this to say, are you living your best life? Shifting your patterns and focus from things on the earth to things with God in heaven can change your life. And that's what this verse is about, renewing your mind and changing the way you think to create a better life for yourself and to live a life that honors God. And that's the good news for today. Let's pray together. Dear God, be with us and help us to turn our minds and our focus from things here on earth to You in heaven. What we have here on earth is just temporary. It's just stuff, Lord. Help us to realize what is truly important in this life. We ask for peace and understanding as You work to transform our hearts and our minds to live out the lives You designed for us, the best life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Would you join me now in praying to our Lord using the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray? Saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us for our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
You know, it's a pretty common thing for people to kind of daydream about how they might want their life to be different, or how their life would be different if they could change some aspect of their reality. Maybe if they had a different job, if they had more money, if they lived in a different part of the world, how life would be different if we could change something. I know during the past 2 years, a lot of people have done that kind of thought, and even some decisions have been made around that. But oftentimes, when we focus on just kind of changing some aspect of our life or some aspect of our world, we don't realize the impact that that can have, or how that really might not change everything. We feel like we're unhappy, so we want to change where we live. That'll make us happier, right? We're stressed all the time at our job, so I'll just get another job and I won't be stressed. Or I'm so worried about the future, but if I had more money, I wouldn't worry as much, right? We think that if we change these circumstances, then the emotions, the anxiety, the worry, the frustration that we feel, that'll go away too, right? Now, I imagine some of you who have made those changes realize that that's often not the case. In fact, when we try to change the outward realities of our world, we're sometimes confronted with the reality that so much of our worry and anxiety and frustration and fear comes not from outside, but comes from within. Today we're going to talk about how in Jesus we are called to be transformed, to be reshaped, to be remade, but in a particular way. And it comes from Romans chapter 12, verse 2, in which Paul is writing that if our lives want to change, then our minds have to be changed as well. Hear this word. Do not be conformed to this world, but transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. According to the scriptures, at least in this context, transformation comes from changing our minds, not necessarily from changing our circumstances. You see, if you change your circumstances, if you change the things around you, if you change that without changing your mind, you might just end up back in the same circumstances again. You might have heard this. A recent statistic that I saw is that 44% of all lottery winners end up broke within the first 5 years of winning their money. It's almost half. Almost half of everyone who wins the lottery loses all the money within 5 years. And the reason being is that their circumstances may have changed. They got a lot of money really quickly. But their thinking probably didn't. The way they thought about money and the use of money and what to spend money on, none of that was impacted by this sudden influx of cash. Their outward circumstances changed, but their inward thinking about money didn't. And so they find themselves losing it all. And that's what we mean about transformation. That the outside circumstances, those can change, but it's the inward thoughts that impact our lasting life and legacy. It's the inward thoughts that as Christians, as followers of Jesus, we are called to allow the Spirit of God to transform our thoughts, to change the way that we think so that we can change the way that we look at the world, and so that, yes, our circumstances will change, but in ways that are lasting. A Jesus-shaped life requires a Jesus-shaped mind. And so, to live like Jesus and to allow our minds to be transformed into the ways of Jesus means we must allow our thoughts to be made captive, not by the world's thinking, but by the way that God in Christ thinks. To allow our thoughts to obey the teachings of Christ. Now, thoughts can be hard to control. Thoughts pop up out of everywhere. It's really hard to tell someone not to be afraid when a snake is about to bite them, right? It's hard to tell someone like me, who's afraid of heights, don't be afraid, you're not going to fall. Well, it's not the falling I'm afraid of, it's the hitting the ground at the end. See, thoughts will just pop up. And thoughts can be hard to control because they do seemingly come out of nowhere. And it's not easy just to change our thoughts because they become ingrained habits of how we see the world, what we think, how we react, how we respond. And so when we have negative thoughts, thoughts that begin to seep into our life and our consciousness, the Bible has a very specific word for this type of thought. The Bible uses the word stronghold. That sometimes these thoughts can have a stronghold in our life. And that word really kind of literally means a fortress, kind of like a castle on a hill that controls everything around it, everything within its sphere of influence. You can't get by the castle without the castle controlling you. And the Bible calls our thoughts strongholds. Look at this. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, we read this, "For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of this world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish the strongholds." You see, a stronghold in the Christian context is a lie that we have come to believe. And because we believe it so fervently and so deeply, it's a mindset or value or way of thinking that really begins to dominate our whole life. And those strongholds are lies that are opposed to the truth of God that we find in Scripture. But for instance, someone might believe a stronghold like, God really doesn't love me like He loves everybody else. That's a lie. Or, if I do what God wants, then I'm going to be miserable in life. I want to control what I do. That's a stronghold, a mindset that dominates our thinking. Or someone might believe that God doesn't hear me when I pray, so I'm just going to give up. Those strongholds begin to dominate the way that we think about the world around us, and the way we think about God, or the way that we stop thinking about God. But those strongholds can also not just be about the world around us, but be about ourselves as well. We might believe the lie that I can never be forgiven for what I've done. We might believe the lie that I'll never amount to anything. I'm insignificant and unworthy of anyone's love, let alone God's love. We might believe the lie that if something bad happens to me, I deserve it. And those ways of thinking begin to take over and to dominate. And they really do begin to control how we interact with the world around us. And really, behind every sin in the world, every sin that we can name, there probably is one of these stronghold lies behind it. And so in the season of Lent, in this time of preparation before Easter, as we are reflecting on how to live a Jesus-shaped life, today we see that in Jesus, we see the power to break those strongholds, the power of truth to conquer those lies, so that our minds will be free to be shaped and transformed, not according to the world's ways of doing, but according to God's way. To begin to allow the Spirit of God to exchange all those lies we tell about ourselves and others, and to replace them with the truth of God. And so our thoughts will begin to obey Christ's teachings. Our mind will begin to be reshaped into His way of looking at the world when we do the very simple thing of saying, Lord, take my thoughts. Lord, take my mind. Reshape them according to your will. Every time that we feel one of those thoughts, one of those fears, one of those anxieties, or one of those very real thoughts of judgment when we look down on other people or think badly of other people, anytime that creeps up, as followers of Jesus, we can say, Lord, I surrender this thought. Replace it with your truth. Reshape my mind so that I may see the world as you see the world. You know, go back to that example of money. Everyone knows and everyone often talks about how money is a source of great anxiety, either because we don't have enough or even for those who have so much that it becomes their controlling factor. Everything they do is wrapped up in their desire to get more money. So whether you don't have any or whether you have a lot, money can capture and control our thoughts and thereby control our actions. And so whenever you begin to feel that anxiety, that stress, that worry about money and stuff, say to Jesus, Jesus, take my thoughts. Reshape them. And Jesus may even point you to some places where He's already taught us about this, like Matthew chapter 6. Do not store up for yourselves treasure on earth where moths and vermin destroy, where thieves can steal, but store up for yourselves treasure in heaven. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. You see, our heart should not be wrapped up in the things of this world, but our heart should be fully devoted to our heavenly home. You see, when we surrender to Jesus and ask Him to take control of our thoughts, He always points us back to His teaching and His example in His life. It doesn't instantly remove all of the anxiety or the worry, but over time, yielding to Christ, allowing God's Spirit to transform your thoughts, really does begin to change the way that you live, feel, and interact with others. Another example is how we treat people, how we speak to people, how we judge other people, what we do to people who've hurt us or wronged us or let us down. You know, the world teaches us to take revenge, to lash out, to make them hurt like we hurt, to keep score, to never forget. So much of the violence that we see on the news, whether it's shootings in our hometown or war on a global scale, leads back to how we believe in the lie that this world teaches us. But when we surrender to Jesus and ask Him to reshape our minds, He calls us back to His teaching in Matthew. He says, you know, you've heard it said, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, but I say to you, do not resist. If anyone strikes you on your right cheek, turn the other also. If anyone wants to sue you and take your coat, give them your cloak as well. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go a second mile. Give to anyone who begs from you. Do not refuse anyone who wants to borrow from you. For you have said you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemy and pray for those who hate you. See, Jesus wants us to change the way that we think, so that we will change the way that we see the world, so that we will change the way that we interact with the world, so that the world might be changed and follow Him. That's hard to do, right? And it takes, for most of us, a lifetime. A lifetime of yielding to God, of surrendering the strongholds of how the world has taught us to live and to look and to think and to act. And over time, slowly but surely, allow the Spirit of God to renew and transform our minds so that they look less like the world and they look more like Jesus. In order to be shaped like Jesus, to live like Jesus, we need to think like Jesus, which means we will think differently than the world around us. And that is why today's sermon is titled The Courage of Jesus, because friends, thinking differently than the world around us takes real courage. To choose to allow Jesus to change the way you think, which changes the way you act, which will change the way that people act around you, for good, sometimes for bad. The courage to live like Jesus makes you look different. Could make you look odd. Could make you look peaceful. Some of you may be worried that it could get you made fun of, or if you're too kind and generous and too much like Jesus, it might even get you killed. It did for Jesus. But the really good news of this season, as we approach Easter, is we are reminded that even death is not the end of our story. That even death is defeated. And as Jesus reshapes our mind and transforms our thoughts, we don't have to fear anything in this world, even death itself. Now, the world around us will go on fearing, go on worrying, and go on treating one another very badly. But you and me, and all of us who desire to follow Jesus, we can live differently because we can think differently. Because Jesus' life is shaped differently than the world around us. Do not be conformed to this world, but allow Jesus to transform you, mind, body, and eternal spirit. Amen. Friends, as you go forth this week, I want you to invite Jesus into your mind to reshape, to reform, to transform the way that you think. And I bet the week will be a little bit better if you do that. So go in peace, friends, and be transformed by Jesus who goes with you. Amen.